Definition of revival. There's a whole bunch of definitions of revival. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you define revival for us. God, that you'd show us our needs, that you'd show us the church's needs, that you'd show us this nation's needs, Lord. And Lord, above all, you'd show us what our part is, God. Lord, we worship you and we praise you, God. Convict us if we need conviction. Rebuke us if we need rebuking. Encourage us if we need encouragement, God. Lord, Holy Spirit, you can meet us in all those places, God. You can meet us anywhere that we're willing to listen and obey. So, Lord, give us listening ears. Give us obedient hearts. Your kingdom come. Let's say that together. Your kingdom come. Your will be done right here in Faith Harvest like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Revival. This is the one that I had on this little Four Winds of Heaven thing that God gave us back in 2002. But revival means bringing back to life or consciousness. In other words, to be revived, you're dead or dying, right? And so that's a good definition. I know there's a lot of other ones. One of them's a special meeting where you say spring revival. And when I was growing up, every church in the south end of Louisville would have a spring revival. I mean, it was just revival meetings, you know, and that was a good thing because it brought people together seeking more of the Lord during the week. And it don't seem like, I did see one up here on the corner. I don't know what church it was. I'm thinking maybe it was St. John's Pentecostal Church. I don't know, but I did see a revival sign out. So that was encouraging. But Dr. Michael Brown said, you cannot throw a revival any more than you can cause a hurricane to happen. You cannot make revival happen. You cannot make a hurricane happen. But there are certain things that can get you to seek after it. And God says, if you seek after me and you thirst after me and you hunger after me, I will fill you. And that's what revival is about, being filled. And I know we talk about revival a lot, and I know y'all might get tired of it, but you know, if you don't want to hear about revival, you don't need to be here, because that's the only thing I want God to do. I want an awakening, which is far above revival, you know. That's when everybody in the country starts figuring out that we're going in the wrong direction and there's nothing that can change it except God and His Spirit. That's what we need. We need an awakening, and we will have an awakening. It's going to be a violent awakening. So a lot of people don't want an awakening. I thought it was kind of interesting. Another night at youth group, you know, there's a lot going on this time of year. There's people graduating. There's people busy with school stuff. So it looked like Samuel was going to be the only one there, you know. And I've always felt in ministry that if there's one, then it's worth it, you know. And I know some people say, oh, we'll just cancel it tonight. We'll do it some other. No, I don't feel like that. But praise the Lord. You showed up, praise the Lord. Chris showed up, and Holy Spirit showed up. Amen. And we watched this video called Holy Spirit, and we saw about three sections of it. But it was all about these people set out to make Furious Love. Is that a film? They made this one. They made that film also. They said the filmmaker said, we are going to go out and we're going to see what the Holy Spirit does. And if he don't show up, we're going to have a pretty poor movie. So they went out and they started filming. They filmed them on the streets talking to people. They started out in Salt Lake City. And they started interviewing them people in front of the tabernacle. And they started asking them questions. And have you ever felt the presence of God? Would you like to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? And they were praying for people, and they were starting, what is that, you know? And God was moving. And God's not about feelings, but God was showing himself passionate towards these people. And they woke up and they went, wow. And a couple of them come to the Lord. In another section, there was this, see, I quit rock and rolling long before Korn came out with a K. Yeah. I quit rock and rolling before that. I might have liked him and I might not. I don't know. But they showed the band. One guy got saved and now there's three saved. And he was out, he just disconnected from the group, and he went on his own. Well, he's hooked back up with them. And they're going out, and God told them to go into the world, you know. And it showed them, they went out before the concert into the crowd, and they started saying, can we pray for you? And, of course, the people were like, whoa. And they started praying for people, and people were getting healed out here in this big coliseum. And it's like, they went to Monaco. God told them to go to Monaco, and they did all this stuff to reach one lady. I mean, you'd have to see it, but God was moving.
That's awesome.
God was moving. And, of course, we watched at a youth group, and the kids were like, yeah, right? Y'all were like, yes, right? See, kids are like, yeah, I'm a speedboat. Yeah, I'm a crotch rocket. Yeah, yeah. Yeah! And mom and dad are like, tugboats. No, barges. Got to turn around. I'm more like a speedboat. It's like kids want to do it now. Even if they make a mistake, they want to do it now. I like to do it now, too, but I like to get directions because I've done it now. And made some big mistakes before, but that's okay. I'd rather you make mistakes and be passionate than to be dead and do nothing. And God would rather you be passionate and make mistakes than to do nothing. John Wesley, oh, don't judge him by the Methodist Church, please. And I'm not against the Methodist Church because there are people on fire for God. There's a remnant in there, and God's going to raise up a remnant out of every church. And he's going to overturn the plans of Satan. I think John Wesley said, I do not fear that the Methodist Church would cease to exist. I fear what it will become. He said, I want revival without defects. Listen to this. I want revival with no defects, no manifestations of the flesh. But God, give me revival with defects. Give me revival. And we've got to get that passionate about a move of God. And we've got to get passionate enough to go out and pray for people like y'all were talking about, going out and doing treasure hunts where you go to the mall and you pray beforehand and you ask God to show you a person, show me clothes they're wearing, show them different things, and you go up and God shows up and you go pray for them. And the youth are like, yeah! And y'all be thinking, I don't know, that'd be kind of weird. What do they think of me? What would happen? What if they call the police on me? It's like, don't listen to all those voices. What happens if they don't get healed? What happens if they do? You know, praise the Lord, what happens if they do? Okay, I've ranted and raved. No, I haven't. I haven't yet began to rant and rave. To seek revival, okay? To seek after revival, there's one requirement. You must know that you need revival. You see, these are just, now, come on, man. Now, you would not find this in, please don't take me wrong. Go ahead, take me wrong. I don't care. You would not see these hanging in Northside or Southeast. And if you did, no, I'm not saying the statements. I'm saying if you did, they would be very pretty. They would be much prettier than that. I mean, let's face it. These are not pretty banners. You know why? Because I did them with a spray can on my carpet, which I put plastic under, praise God. But you know what happened? Donna said the first one, repentance, that looked pretty good. Then you know what happened? I got so excited. I put the revival one down. I started stencils. Of course, I didn't do that by hand, by the way. You can tell. I started spraying them down. I'm like, whoa. I had a roller. Yeah, that's what it was. I rolled them all down. I went, man, it's pretty good. And I went to pull it up, and I went, uh-oh, no plastic under here. And it was like revival on our carpet. And I have such a precious wife. She went, well, at least it's a good thing to be on there, you know. And believe it or not, it all came out. It's amazing. But like I say, they're not the most beautiful things, but they're a statement. He gave us a calling. He gave us a prophecy called the four winds of heaven. It was the wind of repentance. It was the wind of revival, the wind of reformation, the wind of restoration. Got details for three of them. That one, not yet. But I think he's waiting for that until we fulfill, or he fulfills what he wants to fulfill in the other one. So I'm not going to read through that whole thing, but we need to talk about revival. Revival is needed when, and this is not from Finney, okay, but it's similar. Revival is needed when. He gave me this, and it's A through Z. How about that? I thought that's kind of cool. He made the whole alphabet. If y'all, and I want you to look for yourself in this, okay? I want you to look for yourself in it. If you find anything in here that's lacking, you know what? You need revival. Yep. And as I read it this morning, I thought, I need revival, God. Because I fit into a lot more than one or two. God, I need revival. You need revival when God's church becomes dry and boring. Yep. You need revival when church meets all of man's needs except the spirit of man.
Come on.
Right? You need revival when church When church meets all of man's needs except the spirit of man. Did I say that one?
Yeah.
When church meets man's needs but denies God's wants and desires. You need revival when the world is more in the believer than the spirit of God. You need revival. We need revival when little sins don't bother and convict us like they used to. You know, I got to repent sometimes. Justin's on fire for God. Justin's reading the Bible. Justin's believing what he reads in there and obeying it the best of his ability. Not lifting you up, brother. But he said something the other day. He said, somebody said something about speeding. And pointed out that we're to keep man's laws and stuff. And he said, so I've been driving 50, 55 miles. And I didn't want to hear that because you know what? I like to get it. But I'm just saying, when little things that used to convict you of sin, it may not even been that, but little things bothered you a lot. And then you go, oh, I was just too radical. I was just too on fire. And God didn't really say that. I just thought that. See, that's a danger sign,
yeah.
I believe. When you are in a comfort zone never challenged by God's word, you need revival. When the wonders of the Lord and the word of the Lord no longer amaze you. You need revival when you don't have a passion for the word of God. A passion. You need revival when lost souls preparing to enter eternity without hope doesn't even bother you anymore. We need revival when the first thought we have when trouble comes is, how can I fix it? Who can fix it? Instead of taking it to God. Right? Worry, fear, doom, doctor, this, that, that. And you don't even think about taking it to God first. When building our kingdom is more important than building God's kingdom. We need revival when the joy of the Lord is rare. We need revival when praying is labored and not like it used to be, like breathing. Prayer should just be a continuous exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. It ought to be all day we should be in prayer. And it's not a it shouldn't be work. It shouldn't be work. No, it shouldn't be work. And there are times of travail, you know, when God tells us to go after him like that. We need revival when this race we're in, this Christian race, seems too hard to finish. We need revival when temptations are stronger than God's will in us to overcome them. We need revival when our first love grows dim. This is a big one. We need revival when we tell more testimonies of our past than right now. Boy, I remember back when. Remember when you first got saved and you was around some old Christians? Old Christians like me. Man, I remember back when God did this. Boy, I remember back at Brownsville. See, I'm guilty of that. Boy, I remember this. We should have fresh testimonies and manna every day. Praise the Lord, right? And shouldn't they get stronger? Should they weaken or should they get stronger? The latter thing should be stronger than the former thing, shouldn't it? At least that's what the Bible says. We need revival when we think badly of other people and we have a critical mind. Whoa! Ho! Nobody fits that, do they? No. We need revival when we speak critical of others, especially other believers. Friendly gossip. We need to pray for so-and-so because, you know, God, they are so burnt, you know, and they are so away from you. You know, God don't need your opinion. And other people especially don't need our gossip prayers, and we probably all touch that, you know. Forgive us, Jesus. It's funny because we know. We need revival when jealousy stirs in us because of others who go after God. We need revival when giving to God and His work is a struggle. We need revival when fellowship with other believers is hard. I'd rather be with God at home by myself. You ready, that spirit come on you? I just don't want to be around people. I'll just worship God at home. I'll just pray at home. But when you get home, you don't do either. You just sit around and get depressed. That's not God, you know. That is not God. And that's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, which is common to some. And what did he say at the end? Especially when you see the day approaching. W, see, we're almost there. When you give up on the promises of God, when you give up on the promises that God has given you, visions, dreams, and words from God, prophetic words from God that you knew 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 you were going to see happen. Let me tell you a prophetic word. You know Paul Barden, Pastor Paul? Paul and Geneva, awesome man and woman, awesome. They love Jesus. They've been going after Jesus for longer than I have. They've been preaching in a small little church way longer than I have, praise God. They have been faithful longer than I have. And I've been there twice. People come up to Pastor Paul, don't even know him, prophetic people, and they prophesy, you will see a major revival in your region before you turn 80 years old. And he's tired of waiting. Because he's thinking, is it going to be on my 80th birthday? Or were all these people wrong? Guess what? He turns 80 in February. So I'll take that. That okay with you? I'm glad he didn't tell me 80. I get, you know. Wow. He told me, he did tell me I would have 80 good years. And you know, I take him to that all the time. I can't get sick. I can't be like this. You said I'd have 80 good years, God. and how come my back's hurting? How come this is happening? Shut up. You know, how many of y'all have different aches and pains and different things that annoy you, you know? You know what he showed me one day? I love to come up and get prayer from people because there's power in that. But that word in Mark says, and those who believe will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know what? I go, back in Jesus' name, I believe. When nobody's around, I got somebody to lay hands on me. Who do I agree with? Holy Spirit. Do I need more than that? I'm never going to get through all this. Let's see. Acts. When peace is far from you and turmoil rules your life. You ever had times when that happened? Wow, when your vision is blurred, your hope is smothered, and your direction is lost. I will tell you, when those two things happen, you are under a demonic attack. You are under a demonic sent attack, most likely. And you can't bow to it because it'll just get worse. When you live in confusion, you need revival. These were all symptoms for our need for revival. And like I say, you got to survey your own life to these and say, is this me? Do I need revival, God? And I can honestly answer that I need revival, because there was more than one on here that applied to me. I don't know about you guys. I'm not going to tell you how many because you might be shocked, but several. Go to 2 Chronicles. If I was to do all this without reading Scripture, I'd be blasphemous, wouldn't it? 2 Chronicles 7. What verse do you think I'm going to? Nope. That's what I would have thought too, though. Verse 1. This is Solomon, okay? Y'all got it? When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their heads to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, He is good and His mercy endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of the Lord. So would you agree that Solomon was experiencing revival at that point? A move of God. Something happened, didn't it? Come on, wake up. Did something happen? The fire of God came down. The presence of God came down. And it said it was so strong that even the priests couldn't minister. They were just under the glory. And God was doing the ministering. Revival? Would that be revival to you if that happened? Here, the Methodist Church, the Baptist, I don't give a rip where it happens, you know? Don't think you're beyond this teaching, friend. You're not. We haven't attained. And you can't blame it on this church or this person or that person. You can't blame it on anybody but us. We are lacking God. We need a move of God, Lord. We will humble ourselves before you. Okay, y'all agree that that was God. Okay, Ecclesiastes 1. I won't even tell you to turn there. This is Solomon. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Listen to this. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes towards the south and turns toward the north. The wind whirls around continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, they will return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be, and that which is done will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come. By those who will, I'm sorry, I got this mistyped here. The preacher, verse 12, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness. I have attained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases in knowledge increases in sorrow. And if you read Ecclesiastes, you will see a depressed, oppressed man with no hope, no joy, no life. Yes, he was the richest man that ever walked the planet. He was the wisest man, I guess. And so he said, all is vanity. This is all worthless. This is all useless. And basically, why am I here? And you're talking to a guy that's done everything, right? You went from the glory of God, the fire of God came down in the temple, and the glory was everywhere because of the prayer that Solomon prayed, to all is vanity. So you see, you can be in revival and you can be very close to God, and somewhere down the road later you can go, where did God go? Did that really happen? I think we've all experienced that, you know. And I'm not saying there's not time. You know, there's times when we're not going to be in the fire of God. There's going to be times when we're just plowing and we're not reaping. But, you know, let me just read this. I thought this was said well. I got that Revival Bible, and it's got all kinds of. But this was John Bevere wrote this. Awesome man of God, but listen to it. It really touched me. God has set a limit upon the defection of his church. When the night is at its darkest, the dawn is on the way. The inner history of revivals is characterized by a profound sense of dissatisfaction awakening in many hearts. Prior to revival, the church becomes dissatisfied. The believers get dissatisfied with status quo. Before revival. So I'd say here, at least we're in good company. Now, there might be places where everything's just wah-la-la-la-la-la, you know, but right now, God, we know there's more. Oh, Holy Spirit, we know there's more. A period of gloom sets in. Really? Yep. Weariness and exhaustion invade the heart. Yep. Weariness and exhaustion. Yep. How many people, I'm tired all the time. I'm dragging. I'm tired. I've said it a million times at the last Highway 150 prayer meeting. I said, God, we got to quit saying that. We got to quit confessing that. But still, You wake up in the morning, you're tired. Before you go to bed at night, you're tired. And that might not be y'all, but you know what? It's a spirit. A period of gloom sets in. Weariness and exhaustion invade the heart. The pleasures of the world no longer satisfy. Sick in soul, men turn with a sigh to God. Dimly they awake to the consciousness that in trading heavenly to earthly joys. In trading heavenly to earthly joys. They've encountered great loss. That in the decay of spiritual vision, the world has lost its soul of loveliness. Slowly, this aching grows. The heart of man begins to cry out for God, for spiritual certainties, for fresh visions, Jamie. From a faint desire, this multiplies as it widens until it becomes a vast human need. Until in its urgency, it seems to beat with violence at the very gates of heaven. Within the church itself, through all its days of defection, there have been many who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Who have mourned the church's loss of spiritual power. Who have never ceased to pray earnestly for revival of its spiritual life. For long, their prayers seemed to be unanswered. It appeared as if God had forgotten to be gracious. Gradually, however, the numbers are found to increase. Prayer becomes more urgent and more confident. The condition of the church, its wants of spiritual life, the weakness of its spiritual witness, the need of a fresh baptism of spiritual power become apparent. The need weighs more and more upon the hearts of the devout. Longing for better things becomes an intense pain. Men begin to gather in companies to pray. They cease not to cry out to God day and night, often with tears, beseeching Him to visit with His divine power the souls of men and to pour into the empty cistern a mighty flood of divine life. In many different parts, quite unconnected with each other, the spirit of intercession awakes. And I see the intercessors awakening right now. They're starting to wake up. They're starting to pray together. They're starting to go after God. Not that they stopped, but there's more urgency. As with an expectation that will not be denied, a premonition that there is at hand the dawn of better days. Thus we see how at such times all things seem to unite and cry out for revival. The waters are far withdrawn and heaped up and are foaming and fretting behind the barricade. The times are ripe. The soul of man, weary of wandering, cries out to God. A spirit of intense expectation is abroad. Once more, the long and bitter night has ended. The dawn is at hand, for the fullness of time has come. And so Solomon started out with joy, and he prayed, and God came, and God visited, and the glory of God was in the house. And then he became disillusioned with life. He became disillusioned with everything, even God. And then in 7:14, like you said, it says, when I send pestilence on my land, it's when God sends these things on the land. In other words, judgment. When God sends judgment on the land, you got to read the one before that. In fact, let's go there so I don't misquote it. The Lord appeared to them. This was right after the glory of God come, when the temple, when God comes down in the temple. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. This is the Lord. When I shut up heaven, there is no rain, or I command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. See what John Bevere, and I didn't read that very well, I'm sure. It's kind of wordy. But what he wrote about people getting together in prayer meetings. And I'm not talking about our Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm a Dave Ledger celebration here back. I guess it's been going for a year now. Pastors, intercessors, every Thursday at noon come to celebration. They don't talk about their church. They don't talk about where they're from. It's just strictly praying for revival. It's praying for God to relent from judgment. It's praying for God to do what he said he would do. The Highway 150 corridor, we come together every month and we pray that God would send revival. You send revival to Pastor Paul's church. You send revival to Pastor James's church. You send revival to the Greens Church down at 20th and Market. You send revival, God, everywhere, anywhere you want to, and we'll be there and join with you. And we'll have each other's backs and we'll love each other. And please be praying about this, because I know that God said to get the pastors together in Greenville, Indiana, and come together and pray. And be willing to go into each other's houses and pray. And I'm not talking about compromise, but don't go in there and spook them out with speaking in tongues and stuff. Just go in there and be willing to pray for revival. Be willing to put down your doctrinal stuff so God can move in our presence, right? Amen. And so be praying for that, because I believe that can happen. I believe Greenville is ripe for revival. God gave Greenville, Indiana, a purpose, and it was a resting place. It was a place where people coming down this Buffalo Trace, they go to a hotel or they go to a motel. They had a place that, in fact, Janet used to own it, that built wagons and stuff, and it even had a winch that took them up to the second floor and built them. I mean, it was a place. It had everything in it needed to rest. It had restaurants, and you know what happened? You know what happens when, do you ever notice how the enemy perverts things? So what happened? Well, the restaurants soon turned, and they were probably called taverns. I think a lot of restaurants were back then. But got to be drinking establishments, got to be houses of prostitution. In Greenville? Oh, my Lord, no. Really? And so all these things start happening and perverting the rest of God, see? The rest of God's not getting high. The rest of God's not getting stoned. The rest of God is not getting drunk. The rest of God is not fornicating. The rest of God is to bring his presence into your life. This town burnt down. I don't know what the date is, but if you could see pictures of it, there was nothing left in Greenville, Indiana. There was a strong wind. I think the only building left was the place you were in, the mill, and Greenville Methodist Church. And you can look at the pictures. Everything around Greenville Methodist Church was charred and burned up. And amazing, this new pastor from the Greenville Methodist Church, you know what? She's came out to three of these prayer meetings. And she didn't get offended. She wants God. She wants God. Even if her church don't get behind her, she wants God. So that's the kind of thing that God's doing. And he wants to turn Greenville back to its original purpose, a place of rest and revival. So I'm believing for the revival fire to fall in this town. Praise the Lord. I'm believing for revival fire to fall in this church. I don't like throwing around names, but I am, you know. When Steve Hill's wife, Jerry Hill, is coming to this little when she's filling up Brownsville Assembly of God and going just in Lyndall Cooley's church last week, and I mean, she's wanted everywhere. And we were supposed to have her Father's Day, but she got invited to Brownsville for a 20-year reunion. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that. But she said, I definitely don't want to miss that. I said, well, I definitely don't blame you. But you know what? How this all started, we didn't contact Jerry Hill. There was a message on my machine, my church machine, which I check maybe once a week. I'm not too good at that. I don't do office hours. My office is the woods. So I checked my message one day, and this is so-and-so. I'm calling representing Jerry Hill, and, you know, since Steve died, she's going to go out and start ministering. And we wanted to choose the churches first that had asked Steve Hill to come speak at them. I'm thinking, we never asked Steve Hill to come speak here, mainly because we figured he wouldn't or couldn't. Too busy. And so I called up and said, yes, we're interested. Praise the Lord. Well, how big's your congregation? I said, not too big. I said, but this place will be full. I guarantee you that. In fact, I'm kind of concerned. You know, I'm thinking about the ramp where everybody sits down. They got 1,500 people in a room, not much bigger than this, but we have chairs for us elderly people around the perimeter. But anyway, I wasn't talking to you, Mary. But anyway, she's coming here the 26th, 27th, and 28th, which to me is incredible. It's like God going, you know, I'm going to bless y'all. I'm going to bless you. And then we get a call. David Hogan was in the barn when we met in the barn. Remember that, Danny? We poured gravel back there for extra parking and stuff out in the field. It was muddy. Dave Hogan pulls up. And this is a barn. I mean, there's like manure under it. And, you know, it's a barn. And he backs in his big four-door Power Stroke diesel, and Mrs. Hogan was with him. He gets out and says, he shakes hands, and he about breaks your hand. He's a brute. He said, well, I told Miss Hogan that, well, I reckon it is a barn. It really is a barn. He said, well, praise God, it's better than what my natives got back in Mexico, so we can do it. They brought people in. There was ambulances pulling up out there and having to bring people up these three sets of stairs to get them in there to get prayer. I mean, it was incredible. You remember that, Amy? And when he was leaving, we took him his money, which he didn't even ask for no money. I guess he figured we needed it worse than he did. But Mike and I took the money over to him where he was staying at the bed and breakfast. He said, you know what, man? He said, I'll be back when the time's right. That was 15 years ago, 13 or 14 years ago. I'll be back when the time's right. Got an email. Well, it's time. Can y'all have me in November? Well, I have to check my schedule. So God's doing something here. We just need to be ready for what God's going to do. And it starts right here. Yeah. It starts needing revival in your own heart and your own spirit. You know, it's all right here. Like I say, youth group, God moved mightily. After we watched that video, we prayed and God was hitting them and the power of God was hitting them. And, oh, God, I'm hot. I'm, you know, they were like, woo. So God's moved mightily the other night. And so it's not about numbers. I wish this place was full, but it's not. But you're here, and I'm here, and we love Jesus, and that's good enough for me, and that's good enough for God. So, Lord, we praise you today. We just raise our hands to you and praise you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Everybody stand up. Put on something, Holly. Put on that Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. It might be in there. Just punch that back in. Yeah, that's it. I just want to ask you today, do you need revival? And see, God poured out revival in many different ways through the years. And if you went to Toronto, you would probably laugh and you would have all kinds of things happen there. And there would be joy, there would be crying, there would be great manifestations. But the Brownsville revival, what was unique about it was that. Repentance. You know, a touch of God without that won't last. Got to repent. Repentance means, okay, God, I see. We read this list of things. I see, God, that I am, Lord, I am far away from what you want me to be, Jesus. But God, I hear your voice. Lord, I know, maybe I know there's sin in my life. Maybe I'm doing things that you would never do. Maybe nobody else knows it but you, Jesus. But God, you came, Jesus, to forgive me, and you came to set me free. And it's none of my business what you're into or not into, but God wants to meet you. Just like those girls out of prison, he wants to set you free. And when he does that, he's able to send revival in your heart. And everything changes. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. But if you need revival, and you, as we read through that A to Z list, you know, there's more. But if you realize you're not with God where you need to be, and you realize it's nobody's fault but your own, and you're willing to humble yourself and pray and ask God to forgive you, he will meet you right here, right now. So if God's speaking to your heart, come up and bow at this altar. If there's a physical reason you can't bow down, but please obey God. Obey God. Jesus. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. More Jesus. More Jesus.
Of the glory.